calling Christians to Worship and the Study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome to the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, and we would love to invite you to come and worship with us. Tomorrow night is our Wednesday night family night. We have classes for kids, classes for young adults. We have classes for adults as well, and would love to have you come and be a part of that. Check us out on a midweek service, or you can check us out Sunday morning. We have Sunday school at 9:30, worship at 10:30, and we look forward to seeing you. Sometimes it's nice for me to be able to engage with people that I wouldn't get to engage with any other way. You know, many times people have listened for years before I ever get to meet them, if I ever get to meet them. And I've had some people say it's nice to put a face with a name and a voice. And so if you do get to visit, please introduce yourself. It would be an honor for me. And we would love to, you know, just greet you and say thank you for listening to the Refresh radio program. One of the families that's been at Merritt Assembly of God longer than I have, and I've been there for 32 years, is the Anderson family. They are the owners and the operators of Jets Concrete. 321-536-5804. For decades, they have been training, they have been learning, they have been utilizing the skills that are necessary to get any project concrete off to a great start. They know the requirements, they know the depths, they know the strength, they know the preparation, they know the pour time, they know how to handle it after the pour, they know what time, they know the connections, they've got all of the expertise that is necessary that you may not have time to adapt that learning curve. And I can tell you this, I have found I get a much better product whenever I utilize people with experience and expertise than I do if I try and do it myself. Let the folks at Jits Concrete help utilize their skill set to get your project off to a timely start. Listen, a number of people that I know have used them, and they use them again and again and again. Every time they have a new project, they just automatically go to where this is. Sometimes they, you know, it's because it's been a much better value. But then after that, it becomes, they just do great work. Decades of experience and expertise and a great work ethic. It's a combination that you may find beneficial in your life. 321-536-5804. Today we're going to conclude in Titus chapter 2. So we're going to read verses 11 through 15, and then we are going to pick up in verse number 13. We'll cover verses 13, 14, and 15. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. So we've been talking about grace being the unmerited favor of God, that it is our spiritual privilege that God makes available to us that causes us to advance in this life to the glory of God. It's not something to apologize for. It is something to embrace. So that grace not only brings us salvation, but it also teaches us. It teaches us what to say no to, and it teaches us what to say yes to. It tells us what we need to purge from our life, and then it tells us what to fill that capacity with, which is living a self-controlled life, a righteous life, and a godly life, and that teaching is supposed to be continual. Well, verse number 13 says it is not only about lifestyle, but it is about living with expectation and anticipation. A lot of people, especially, and I'm going to focus this, a lot of people in retirement, and there are a lot of retired people in you know, Central Florida, a lot of people working, but there's a lot of retired, they get up every day with no plan. If you are just getting up and all you have to look forward to is the meals you're going to eat that day, I want to encourage you to have the grace of God teach you how to live, not just to exist. If you've got breath in your lungs, God still has a purpose for you. You can pray. You can help out at the church. You can minister in the community. You can still be a blessing. You've got wisdom that needs to be passed on to future generations. And so there needs to be an anticipation or an expectation that God has gifted you today for a godly purpose that he created for you from before the foundation of the world. So just about every day I have something on the agenda. I've got to the point, because 40 hours a week is like a part-time job for me. So there's something, as I'm here in the radio studio, there's something that showed up on the agenda. I wasn't expecting that. I had several other things, but I'm going to be adapting my journey throughout the day, because there's someone else that's expecting the kingdom of God to operate in my life. And so I preached a message about being a steward of God's presence back in January or February. I don't remember which month it was at this point in time. But I want to be a steward of God's presence. And so that part of that expectation is not only what we can do for God, but here the grace of God teaches us that we should live each day anticipating the appearing, the blessed hope, and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. That is not something to be feared, not something to be dreaded. It's something to anticipate. So if you don't anticipate something, then you will not prepare for it. I want you to understand that when Jesus came and was born in a manger, there were people who knew the prophecy, but they were not anticipating that it was going to be fulfilled in their day. And they ended up fighting against God and the fulfillment of the things that he said was going to take place. There are a lot of believers who are living, and they have a head knowledge that Jesus is coming again, but they do not live each and every day anticipating that this could be the day that they get to be in the presence of Jesus forever and ever. All of us have an appointment with death, or we have an appointment with the the blessed hope. That's what we refer to in the Assemblies of God as the return of Christ. We look forward to Christ appearing. It's not just a doctrinal position. It is something that we prepare ourselves for. We anticipate, and we also try to prepare other people for. Do I still believe that Jesus is coming back? Yes, I do. In the latter part of the New Testament, it says that God is not slack concerning his promises. Why hasn't he come back yet? God's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's still got people that he wants to reach. He's still got miracles that he wants to do so that people will put their faith and trust. And so you and I, the grace of God, creates an expectation in our heart that says, Jesus is coming back. I need to be about the Father's business. Today could be the day that I get to see Jesus face to face. Now, for the past several decades, I remember reading about it in the 70s or seeing it in movies in the 70s, and people would focus on society during the tribulation, and they would try and scare people into a relationship. Now, I want you to understand that even 7 years without the church and without the presence of Jesus Christ, that is a horrifying experience when the wrath of God is poured out. Okay? You can experience the wrath of man. That's unpleasant. You can experience the wrath of the devil because you're doing the right thing. And I hope that if you ever find yourself in that, that we respond the way that the early church did, where we rejoice that we were counted worthy to suffer and we were doing the thing that ticked the devil off, and he lashed out at us. That's not something to be dreaded. That's something to be celebrated. But if your heart's not right, I need to create a reality check inside of you to let you know we're not talking about an economic downturn. We're not talking about a health problem. We are talking about spiritual darkness, the likeness of which this world has never seen. That should be a terrifying thought. The great news, though, is you don't have to live, and God doesn't want you to have a relationship with him because you're dreading that. He wants you to have a relationship with him because you're going to spend eternity with him and with the other saints, and it's going to be glorious. So when my wife and I were engaged, we were looking forward to our wedding day because it was going to be a launch of a lifestyle and that we got to do life together and have been doing life together for several decades now. So we had a musical guest back in February, and they were talking about they travel together. They're self-employed. They said, we spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week together with one another. And that's not a punishment. That's a privilege. So if you are not looking forward to Jesus' return, if you're not prepared, I would encourage you to get ready, because you don't want to be like the foolish virgins that were not anticipating the arrival of the bridegroom, but you want to be like the wise virgins who said, we don't know when he's coming, but we're waiting for it, we're anticipating it, and we're prepared. So Jesus gave himself for us as a sacrifice to pay for our sins, to so that we could be reconciled to the Father. Redemption is not just what he is redeeming us from, but what he's redeeming us for. He redeems us from every lawless deed. Okay? So he just doesn't redeem us from past sin, but he redeems us from the past and the present acts of lawlessness or rebellion against God that we may have in operation in our life. He redeems us from those. Okay? So he redeems us from lawless deeds. I want to drop you down to the end of verse number 14 for just a moment. There's a middle step there, and we'll get back to that. But he redeems us from lawless deeds so that he could redeem us for good works, godly works. And so instead of being controlled by things that we will be ashamed of in the presence of God, he redeems us for the things that he prepared us before we were ever born. And, you know, I don't want to have an unfinished spiritual to-do list that God had created for Bob Arthurs. And I don't want you to have one of those either. And so he redeemed us from lawless works for good works, things that are godly, things that are pleasing and acceptable in his sight. I told you there was an in-between step, and that is that he redeems us from those lawless deeds to purify us for himself. And so when I was studying that, I thought of back in the book of Genesis, where Pharaoh had some dreams. He's the king of the land. And Pharaoh had a butler and a baker, and they were both thrown in jail, and Joseph was in there. They both had dreams. Joseph interpreted the dreams and said, "Hey, when you get restored to your position, don't forget about me." And the butler went back and promptly forgot about Joseph. But Pharaoh had some dreams. He had two dreams. They were very impactful. They troubled him. Nobody could interpret the dreams. And all of a sudden, the butler says, I have failed. There's this guy in the prison, and he's just the guy that you need to talk to. I had a dream about being restored. You restored me. The butler had a dream about, and it was about him being executed. You executed him. There's a guy in jail who can, he can interpret these dreams for you. And so Pharaoh sends for Joseph, and there's urgency. But before Joseph ever went before Pharaoh, there was a time of cleansing, a time of purification. They prepared Joseph for the presence of Pharaoh. How much more is Jesus preparing us for the presence of the Heavenly Father? Don't minimize the purification process. Don't try and eliminate that step. It's a very important step. If you went and got a bottle of water and the water wasn't clear, but it was brown, you wouldn't drink it. It would be evident that there was something in the purification process that had gone awry. You would say, somebody failed. Somebody needs to get fired. You know, if you get something, a meal served and you find an extraneous object in there, that normally makes you not want to participate in it. We are purified for the presence of God, but we are also prepared as God's ambassadors. And so we need to represent well. And part of that is through the process of purification, whereby holiness not only becomes the condition of our heart, but holiness describes the life that we live. The next step in that process from redemption from lawless works to good works is that he will create in us a zeal for those good works. And so that means that we will be enthusiastic about it. I will tell you, getting excited about preaching is not hard for me. It's the fun part of the ministry. There are a lot of different areas of responsibility in 2025, dealing with insurance companies decided that, you know, they were going to get out of the church insurance business. That wasn't one of the fun parts. I was very zealous to get that problem resolved, but it's not, and we did, but that's not part of the fun stuff. There are many other aspects of the ministry. The administrative aspects are not nearly as enjoyable as the preaching part, but it's all part of the privilege that God has given to me to be the pastor of Merit Assembly of God. So I want to be enthusiastically involved in the works that God has given to me that are going to be beautiful before Him, that they're going to represent morality, that they are going to be ethical. I want Him to find me doing wholeheartedly the things that He's assigned me to do. That brings us to verse number 15, Paul's instruction to Titus. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. I want to challenge you in 2025 to use your voice for the glory of God. Speak about the things of God. I know a number of people that if you have a conversation with them, you will hear about all the problems. You will hear about all of the bad stuff, the uncomfortable stuff. An ambassador speaks the things that he is supposed to speak, representing the authority that has commissioned him. So let's not be silent witnesses to the Savior of all mankind. Let us be vocal witnesses. Use your voice. And so that's what I do here on the radio. There are some days that I use my voice so much that my voice gets tired. And if I know if my voice gets tired, it's time to shut it down. My wife uses her voice a lot at work, and sometimes she comes home and her voice is at a whisper. And here's what I want. I want to, when my day arrives that I'm promoted into the presence of God, I hope that my fuel tank is empty. I pray that the strength of my body has been spent, that my voice has been utilized to bring glory, and I don't want to leave anything unused. I want it to be like the person who has given it their all to cross the finish line, and crossing the finish line means that we're just promoted into the presence of God. So, he says, as you're using your voice, exhort and rebuke. We've talked about that's urge to implore, to comfort, to come alongside and help, to encourage one another. It also says that you are supposed to talk about these things in a manner that will result in correction of error. I believe that embracing the darkness while the light of the world is supposed to be the controlling influence in your life, I believe that is a spiritual error, and that it needs to be corrected. So I would highly encourage you to let the presence of Jesus out of your heart and into full, unrestricted access of every area of your life, so he keeps you from spiritual error, and he functions with the unfettered access of the truth of God in your life, so that we do what the grace of God teaches us to do, to live a controlled, righteous, and godly life in the present time, not just in heaven. So it says that this correction has to be done in the right spirit. It needs to be done with authority, and authority is to build people up, not to tear people down. It is to be done with a command that accomplishes the mission. And so submission is living life under mission. And there is authority in the body of Christ. Everybody in the body of Christ needs to function with authority over them. I have authority over me. The person that holds the highest position in the assemblies of God has people in authority over him. Living out from underneath authority, I think, is a very dangerous place to live. I highly recommend living with authorities in operation in your life. And it says, it concludes chapter 2, Titus 2, let no one despise you. And so I've got this note written down. Don't despise your teacher. And that means don't look down on them. Don't disregard the things that they say. Don't despise them. As I was thinking, how could I best describe this? I was thinking back to the original Karate Kid, where this Ralph Macchio's character is tired of being picked on, and he finds this guy and Mr. Miyagi, who's going to teach him how to not get picked on. And so he teaches him to sand the floor, and he teaches him to paint, and he teaches him to wax a car, and go through all of these motions. And after, you know, days and hours of going through this, he says, I'm tired of doing your chores. You're supposed to be teaching me how to protect myself. And what he didn't realize was that Mr. Miyagi had created a muscle memory in him, and then he showed him how to use those different motions to protect himself. I want to encourage you, don't despise your spiritual authorities. They'll teach you the right way to live. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.